Blog Talk Radio.
My weehip can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi there. Yes, it is me. Welcome to the WeHands Radio Show. I'm Sarah Bingham, the founder of WeHands and the author of the Baby Signing Book. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, WeHands is all about helping parents connect with their babies and with each other. I also have so many great opportunities that have come up that I get to meet some amazing individuals who are supporting and connecting with parents, experienced parents and brand new parents. Today, I have the opportunity, I'm so excited to chat with one of those individuals. We are very like minds. Jill is a nationally certified speech-language pathologist who's been practicing in a variety of settings for more than 25 years. She has a love for children and sign language and has been using signs in therapy with children who are hearing impaired and deaf, as well as children with autism, apraxia, developmental delays, Down syndrome, and other speech and language difficulties. Welcome, Jill, so much to our show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Sarah. I'm doing well. I'm really thrilled to be on your blog radio today. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad that, and that connection is wonderful. Every now and then I get worried when I say hello, the connection is going to work. Not so good for people who do communication for a living. Now, you're currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, in Columbia, South Carolina. Is that right?
That's correct.
Awesome. So, but tell us a little bit about where you grew up, if you grew up in South Carolina, and what you were like as a child.
Okay, well, I did not grow up in South Carolina. I grew up in the mountains of Western Maryland in Cumberland. It's a small, historic, beautiful town. My twin sister and I were the youngest of five children, but I was officially the youngest by 6 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I was kind of shy. Pardon me?
Wow, that's a lot of kids and you're a twin too. That's amazing.
It's a lot of, it is something unique. I was kind of a shy child, but I just remember as a child always feeling very loved. From there, I lived there until I was graduated from high school, and I went to college in Virginia at James Madison University, and then graduate school in Baltimore. And from there, a few months later, after graduating from graduate school, I married my husband, and he was an active duty Marine at the time. So we moved around a few tours, and here we are in South Carolina.
Very, very nice. You're just going a little more south every time you move.
Right. Well, no, our first tour from, we went to North Carolina and then we went to Hawaii. So that was nice. And then we did Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So we did make our way to a little bit warmer weather.
Definitely. Some beautiful places, though.
Yes, yes. Really, we really enjoyed our time in the Marine Corps.
Wonderful. And also thanking him for his service as well. That's an incredible amount of time. But you've
Thank
been
you.
Serving
okay.
folks for 25 years now. Definitely the field of speech language pathology has probably changed quite a bit in those years. It's been, well, I've been practicing. I'm not a speech pathologist. I'm a communicative disorder assistant,
mm-hmm.
but I've been working for 20 years. So, similar timelines.
Right.
Now, when you are introduced at, if you were introduced at a local party or a children's birthday party, how would you describe what you do?
Well, first of all, wife and mother, I have two wonderful adult children. But as my out-of-the-home work, I'm a pediatric speech-language pathologist and a sign language instructor, and have really enjoyed both aspects of what I do professionally. Really have just been teaching the sign language as a Signing Time Academy instructor for about 2 years. Like you had said, I have been using sign language in my practice almost the whole time. And really have enjoyed teaching children, teaching during workshops for parents and professionals. Actually, now I'm starting another venture in addition, and that will be doing a six-hour professional development course through Summit Professional Education, and it's called Signs for Success. And what it's going to do is teach other professionals, give them a real basic knowledge of about 100 American Sign Language signs. And my goal there is the children that I see who use sign language, and some of them only use it for a very brief period of time, but it's really necessary for them to communicate until they learn to talk. And others use it for a longer time. And obviously it's a language of the deaf, so it's a real true language, and it's used all over the country and in parts of Canada. But what I found is a lot of those children, when they're outside of the home, they may not be able to communicate with other people. Some of the children, they might be hospitalized, or they're just in physical therapy, occupational therapy. And if the therapist, doctor, or nurse, they don't know sign language, they aren't able to do basic communication. And so I have a real passion for spreading sign language around, and part of it is that reason, is to teach those who are using sign language, I mean, especially the deaf population. But what I'm teaching is not conversational American Sign Language. It's just basic signs. But if a child wanted to ask for their mother, or say they were cold or hungry or thirsty, they should have someone who can understand them. And so that is where my focus is right now, is teaching the children and then and doing speech therapy, and then also trying to teach adults and spread sign language around so that those people who use it are understood in more situations.
That is wonderful. And I say this almost every show. This is audio, so people can't see me, which maybe is a good thing. But as you're talking, I'm sitting here. My hands are waving, I'm smiling, I'm nodding. I love your story.
Great. Well, I thought you were going to say, because I find myself, I'm not only using signs, but I talk with my hands a lot just as gestures, and I don't think anyone can see that. But I'm also doing that.
Wonderful. And people joke, because my husband is Italian, that oh, you're using your hands all the time because your husband is Italian, and maybe a little bit of that. But also I do tend to throw some signs in there just for emphasis, regardless of who I'm talking to. Because it's such a powerful language.
It really is. It's a beautiful language. And, the things that I've learned in the last few years are just the benefits that it has to any child as far as literacy, language, reading skills, spelling skills, using the manual alphabet for spelling. So there are so many benefits of it. I'm really hoping to be just one of the many people that are trying to spread the love of sign language around the country.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I love it. And I will join you and support you in your goal, because we have very, very similar goals. I love it.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Now, you've been working for 25 years. I've been working for 20 years. Now, when I graduated, I thought I was going to get a job in a school board working with little ones with articulation disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, that never, ever happened. I was working with adults with developmental delays, and then preschool children with developmental delays. So how did you go from when you graduated to working with so many of these individuals with special needs, Down syndrome, autism, and apraxia? How was your therapy journey brought you to the population that you're currently working with?
Well, that's a good question, because I always wanted to work with the deaf population. And I did work in a school for the deaf very briefly before we were transferred to a new duty station. And then I worked in Hawaii in a preschool classroom for deaf and hard of hearing children, and just loved that. But as a speech pathologist, I was using the same type of system they're used in the schools. And in the schools, they're using signed English or signing exact English as the term then. It has many different terms now, but manually coded English, which, as you know, is a way to represent English on the hands, but it's not a true language. But it isn't. The reason it's used is often because there's not a written form of American Sign Language. So I really am more fluent in signing exact English, signed English, but I don't use that now. And I went from there. And whenever you go to a new duty station, it's time to see what's available at the new place. And so I worked in some DDES schools, some Department of Defense, the Department of Defense schools that are stateside. And they added a new acronym for it before I left, but school systems. And then I also started working in early intervention in the birth to three population. And I've been doing that for about 10 years. And the first day I started, I knew that really is the population I just loved working with. And I've worked with three different agencies. One of them merged into a second agency, Midlands Therapy Services, and then also work for ARC Therapy Services here. Both of them are in Columbia based. And work, do that, and also teach the sign language. But once I got into the early intervention, like I said, in about the last 10 years, I just love the 2-year-olds, the birth to three age group, and have a lot of fun doing it. And you really should find something to do professionally that you also enjoy as much as you can.
Absolutely. It's my motto for a long time, and I'm, for the most part, able to stick to it, is if it's not fun, don't do it. And I'm just, early intervention work in Hawaii would just be, let's have a little moment for that. That would be amazing.
It was a great, there's a lot of cultural things to learn, and also worked with some military dependent children, and really just enjoyed our time there and the work that I was able to do there too. But it was really, really interesting. But like I said, I really have loved this, the birth to three, and also the interaction with the parents. And I found that I have learned so much working with the parents that I hope to share with them. And part of that is because I wish I knew it when I had 2-year-olds. It would have helped a lot.
I was just thinking about that. And so with the early intervention, the past 10 years that you've been working, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in doing what you do?
Well, when I graduated from college, back when, we really weren't talking about using sign language for populations other than those who were hearing impaired or deaf, and that chose the manual or total communication method. So it's really been new to me to be using sign language as a, with children, teaching baby signing time classes, just teaching it as a way to communicate before a child can speak, for typically developing children. And then also using it, officially using it as a means, either augmentative in a communication system, or just as a means to help a child briefly communicate where they learn to talk. And I've seen how effective it is and can reduce the tantrums and the frustration when a child's not able to talk, but they have something they really want to communicate. And, you know, as you know, you can move their little hands and help them sign and then praise them for communicating. And all of a sudden communication becomes something positive instead of something negative. And sometimes just those little things of helping them communicate, being able to have something positive end up from their communication attempts instead of frustration, is enough to really boost that, the speech development, and have that comes in, you know, sometimes soon after that, very soon after the sign language starts.
Now, have you come up, and is it lessening resistance to signing with little ones with special needs, and even typically developing ones before they're verbal? Have you come up against any resistance to signing with kids?
I have some, and some of it is that people, and there's some legitimacy to this thought, and that is if there aren't many people who can communicate with a child and who understand sign language, then why are you teaching it to them? And my thought is, why don't we help more people understand sign language, and then because it's effective for children, and they have their hands right there. So, but I've had some parents who really, they did not want to even try it. And of course, I would never impose something like that if a parent wasn't on board. So I try to talk to them about the benefits, but without a parent's involvement, it doesn't really help, because I might be in the home for or with the child an hour a week, but the parents are the main caregivers, obviously. And if that's not a communication system that they embrace, then that's not something that we would start. We would try.
Yeah, and that's
a lot of people.
Being so respectful.
There's a common misconception that if you teach a child to sign, it will delay their speech development, but the research shows the opposite. Just like other communication systems out there that are used with children with speech and language delays and disorders, for the most part, they've been shown that it enhances or helps to increase the speech and language development, and speech comes along often sooner for children who have a way to communicate, another way to communicate.
Yep. There's one of the very first wonderful, fantastic speech-language pathologists that I worked with, Sue Trotcho. Her approach was using total communication. And the way she defined total communication was, we're going to use and promote the use of sign. We're going to use and promote the use of pictures. We're going to use and promote the use of speech, so speech, sign, and pictures, and whatever the child or the individual we were working with, adults, whatever they choose, and it may be one, it may be a combination, it may be all three, whatever they choose is what we're going to end up using. And I thought that was such a wonderful philosophy.
It is. That's perfect. And I'm glad you said that, because I did want to make sure that I emphasize that I always talk when I'm signing to children. I don't sign in the absence of speech, so I'm always encouraging speech. That's the first goal, is that a child talk to communicate. And sign language can help be what I like to call the bridge to speech for some children. But I'm always using vocalizing as well and encouraging them to. The total communication, and it has a lot of different definitions depending on who you talk to, but I agree. You want to use whatever method is going to be effective to help a child communicate, and methods together, including speech, reading, and gestures, facial expressions, all the things that go along with some sign language, and if pictures, vocalizing, and signs. So I think I agree with that philosophy.
I think if your baby picked up your smartphone and texted you that, hey, I want more milk, it's still communication.
Exactly. It may not be far off, seeing how the little 18-month-old and 2-year-olds I work with are very, very well able to get around a smartphone and an iPad, sometimes a little bit better than the adults are. But you're right.
Definitely.
Communication is really the key. And that's the key. And to me, speech is the first priority. But if that's not coming along then they often need something else that's going to supplement that.
Yeah. And I love how you use the thought of it being a bridge, because I've seen that in so many situations, that they just need help getting their meaning across in whatever way. And then you can get on with whatever it is that you're playing with and how you're interacting with the little one. It's about communication.
Right.
Now, have you been surprised, or parents that you've worked with been surprised when a nonverbal or a little one who doesn't have speech yet, when they start signing, have you had any surprises, or parents that you've worked with?
I have had surprises, I think, from parents that are very leery about sign language. But all it takes is signing mama, signing milk. And it takes one time of a spontaneous communication for a parent to see, wow, they're communicating with me. They're able to communicate their own wants and needs with me. And it really just can take one sign for a parent to be convinced that it may be effective for a child for a while. I also had another interesting situation. We were teaching a class, and another sort of thing that I always try to keep in the back of my mind when I'm teaching sign language. And there was a family, and we were teaching some food and drink signs, and the mom came back the next week and said, I don't know why, but he will not sign banana. We've been working on it all day. We've been working on it all week, and I can't get him to sign banana. And then I asked her if he liked bananas, and she said he doesn't like bananas. So that's probably the reason he's not signing any. He really doesn't have any interest in it. And it's something for me to remember when I'm teaching. When you choose the signs that you're teaching to children for communication, you definitely want to make sure that you include, whenever possible, the signs that would be the things that that particular child would be interested in or would want and likes.
And you reminded me of a story that kind of the opposite thing. We have a baby's eating song we do in our classes, and we sing it during our food class to all of the little ones. And we were doing some review towards the end of the class. I think this baby was about 11 months old, and I'll just call him mm-hmm. Johnny. But we were singing and signing Johnny's eating bananas. Yum 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 is our song. And so we finished. We finished the Johnny's Eating Banana songs, and we moved on to the next child, and Johnny started crying.
Oh, no.
We were so mean. I didn't even think about it, and that was earlier when we were teaching that as we're singing these songs with the little ones, and they're used to getting used to them, and they're learning the signs, and they're learning the words that they expect whatever it is you're giving to them at the end of a song or during a song, and we didn't give this little baby any banana.
Well, the good news is he definitely had the context and the cognitive skills and knew the banana and the sign that you taught him. So that was the good side. But yeah, you don't want to be frustrating a child. But they teach you so many things, don't they?
Goodness, they do. They're just wonderful. So now that when we introduce that song, we have to explain, okay, is anyone signing? Is anyone knowing this? Does anybody have any food? We'll sing about what you're talking about. Oh, mean teacher.
I know.
What's some advice that you would give for, you've got two, your kids are adults now. What advice would you give brand new parents now?
I would say redo your child every day. It's more important than we still really know, but reading is so key. And also keep a sense of humor. It is important in so many ways, but I think those are the two things. There are so many things I could think of, but if you have a sense of humor, I think it gets you through a lot of things that you come upon in parenting that you don't encounter in other situations in life. And like I said, reading is just so key. My husband was really the main reader to my children, and they are both excellent readers, much better than I am. And it just opens that world of vocabulary and the bonding time with the parent to child while you're reading to them, and so many benefits. But those are the two things I would say.
I love it. And we all have little memories of those stories that we read over and over with our kids, like Goodnight Moon mm-hmm. and the classic Brown Bear. And
that's,
I remember,
right.
How
over and over and over and over and over.
Yes, I was presenting to a group of childcare educators in Ohio a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. I'd gone down there. It's a 10-hour drive, and I was presenting to them, and I said, "I'm really sorry, but I forgot my Brown Bear book. But I will teach you the signs." And they said, "Don't worry, we know it." And I had 300 educators read, or they weren't reading it. They recited Brown Bear to me while I showed them the signs. It was amazing.
That's great.
Now you have, so are there products either as a speech pathologist or as a mom that you would recommend or wish you had invented for babies and toddlers?
There were so many wonderful things now that we didn't have when mine were little, but I would say something that may be not what you're expecting. Obviously, this isn't something I would have ever thought of, let alone had the skills to invent, but when I think about the connection that parents now have with other parents through the internet and social media, and just or your long-distance family and the pictures, I think there are so many benefits of that. It can be overused, obviously, or used in wrong ways, but like, diagnosing your own child with certain things or however, but just the thought of, you know, if you're up in the middle of the night with a feeding and you can get on, and there are how many other parents are up in the middle of the night with the feeding, or you have a question about something that's not something you needed to ask your pediatrician or another specialist, and you can find another parent who's going through the same thing. I think the kind of bonding you get and the support that you can get through the internet that we didn't have before then, I think that has been a really great invention, obviously, but it can be used in so many great ways as a parent.
Yeah, and just know that you're not alone when you're doing that
right.
2 a.m. feeding when you're so
right.
tired and everyone else in the house is asleep and you just feel so alone, but knowing that there's so many other people out there doing the exact same
mm-hmm.
thing.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Now, you've got two adult kitties, and we talked about staying connected. How do you stay connected and close to your family?
Well, when the children were, my son is still finishing college, is in college, and so when he has longer breaks at home than my daughter. But when they were growing up, we always tried, unless there was something, you know, special going on, we tried to have dinner together every night. I think that's really important. As my children got older, middle school, high school, and I have to tell you the difference in how much contact I had with them once they had a cell phone and could just text, I'm here, I'm okay, or call
yeah.
me if they needed something. That, as much as I am I'm not real positive about having it at a very, very young age, but when a child, children get older, the fact that they you can get in touch with them anytime and they can get in touch with you almost anytime, I think has been a really helpful way to connect.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just remembering this morning is my son, he's in grade 9, he's going out the door to catch the bus, and my husband said, do you have your phone? And that's something that our parents would have never said to, and even the concept would have been really, actually, that's kind of a silly skit if we had our phone taking it off the wall.
Exactly. But it is helpful to be able to connect and, you know, in that way. And I think one of the reasons is you can, if you are emailing or texting, you can send the message, or they can, when it's convenient for you, and the other person can get it when it's convenient for them.
Absolutely. And again, having worked as long as we have had in the speech and language and communication field, so many of the smart technologies that we're using are coming from the world of individuals who weren't able to communicate 10, 15 years ago. So it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Wonderful.
Opened up lots of worlds to people who didn't have that in the past.
Yeah, it's amazing that you've come kind of full circle. Do you have a favorite parenting book that you would like to share or recommend?
Well, this author has done a number of books, but I used to really follow him he may still have a syndicated column, and that's John Rosemond. And I read Parent Power, and that was ages ago, but he has numerous books, I think maybe 14, I hope I'm not misquoting, but he has just common sense parenting and consequences for your actions and raising happy children, but he has a lot of good, like I said, common sense philosophies and answers to ways to parent. I think that there's a concept that children should be more in control than maybe they're ready to be in some sectors. And I think it helps divide where the parent should take control and where you can give a child choices about things. And it's not going to be a big deal or change a lot of things, but it gives them a little bit of control as well. But anyway, I'm sort of ad-libbing there. That's not a quote from him, but I think he has some really great parenting advice.
That is wonderful, and I love asking everyone I talk to this question, because my world opens up so much. So it's John Rosemond, and I'm just looking at his website, www.rosemond.com, and his book titles look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Thank you. What about now? How do people find you? How can, and are you on Twitter, Facebook, and do you have a web page that we can share with everybody?
I do. I have my company that I mainly really do the sign language from, even though it's a speech therapy and sign language, but I contract with other companies. But my company is called Speech Signs because I do speech therapy and teach sign language. So it's SPEECHSIGNS. And the website is www.speechsigns.com.
Awesome.
And my Facebook page is /speechsigns on Facebook.
Very nice. We're going to jump on those and say hello to you. I love, I was looking at your speechsigns.com website, and I love your logo for speech signs that you turned the first S into a little hand.
Yes, the graphic artist that did the logo for me, I was trying to, we went through a few different variations, but I thought that would be fun to have that S there for the speech, and looks just like it too. So thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Love it. I love those little things. Thank you so much for joining us. It's just kind of flown by.
Yes, it has.
Absolutely like mine. So, and people can get a hold of you at speechsigns.com, and your email address and your phone number is on there. That's fantastic for anybody who's in South Carolina, and is looking for some support. And I'm sure
if they're looking for a professional development. If anyone's looking for the professional development course, it is under Summit Professional Education. And the name of that course is Signs for Success.
That is fantastic. Wonderful. I'll put those links up on our little website as well so that people can find
thank you. That and that website is summit/education.com. And the workshop would be Signs for Success.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us, Jill. It's just been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I enjoyed talking with you so much, and I appreciate you letting me be with you and talking with you today.
Thank you. It's such an amazing, wonderful topic. I'm a little bit prejudiced myself, but I love everything that you've said. We are just about done. I want to thank Jill for joining us from Speech Signs, and definitely look her up. You can look WeHands up on Twitter. We are at WeHands on Twitter if you want to get in touch with us. Our website is also WeHands.com, and you can follow us or email me to get any questions. If you have any questions at all, I'd be more than happy to chat with you. Since 2001, WeHands has been a leader in the children's sign language and language learning world. We deliver interactive fun classes as well as a line of tailored products. WeHands is also part of Morneau-Chapelle's Children's Support Solutions, and that's an organization that provides health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential. We're out of time, and I want to thank you for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time, and we'll answer more questions and talk more about language development. If you've got any parenting or early language development questions that you'd like us to cover, just send me a tweet. I'm at WeHands. You can email me at info@WeHands.com and find us on Facebook. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Signing Book.